Ephesians 1, verse 17. Paul is praying for the Ephesians. In verse 17, he says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Ephesians 1, verse 17. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I keep asking the glorious Father. The glorious Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give you the Spirit. And I take that here. I should deal with this more fully in another discourse. I take this to be a reference to the Holy Spirit, not a Spirit, my Spirit, but the Holy Spirit himself. This Holy Spirit of wisdom, this Spirit of revelation, so that I may know God better. And the God that is set out here is the triune God, is he not? The God and Father, the glorious God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, may give you the Spirit, as in verse 13, the promised Holy Spirit. So what do we make of this? I think we should stress this point, that the apostle is a Trinitarian. And more than that, that he sees the Trinity bound up in this prayer and this bestowal of grace and this enlargement and enlivening of the believer. Now, unfortunately, some make a cult of the Spirit. They stress the Holy Spirit. And yet we are expressly told by Christ in John that the Spirit will not glorify himself. In fact, here you have to look more carefully to find the Holy Spirit, as it were. He's not sort of displayed in a great way. As Christ said, he won't speak of himself. He'll take of the things that belong to me, and he will glorify me. He will show you me. He will show you the truth. But nevertheless, he is mightily active in this work of sanctifying and edifying and enlivening and enriching the people of God. Of course, he's there in regenerating grace, in convicting and converting the sinner. But here it is the triune God, is it not? The Father, the glorious Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You may say that the Trinity is not mentioned. I agree with you, of course, the word Trinity is not there. But let me highlight this. Let me try to illustrate this point. I keep asking that the God of David Gay may give you the Spirit. Would you not think it something strangely odd there? The Spirit of God, the glorious Father. I keep asking that the glorious Father, the glorious God of David Gay may give you the Holy Spirit. Would you not think it strange that the Father and the Spirit is linked with this poor speck of humanity, David Gay? How would you think if I said, I keep asking that the God of John Calvin, the glorious Father of John Calvin, may give you the Holy Spirit? I should think there was something strange there. Say, I said, Paul himself, I can't imagine it, but say, I keep asking that the God, my God, the God of Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus. I keep asking that the glorious God of this man, Paul, would give you the Holy Spirit. I say to you, there'd be something odd about it. There are three persons here. The Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. Of course, Paul's not setting out to prove the Trinity. But I can't see what else we can make of it. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit here. I worship a triune God. And the triune God, the God who planned, who accomplished, and is applying redemption and salvation, is the God who enlivens his people, quickens his people. Notice it's the Lord Jesus Christ also. In the academic world, they can talk about Jesus, the mere man. Well, he's just one, you see. There's lots of these people about. There's Muhammad and a few others about, these gurus. Yes, Jesus. We'll talk about the historical Jesus. Yes, Jesus, Jesus. No, my friend, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Anointed. He is the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Savior. Christ, Messiah, promised one, anointed. The Lord. He is God among us, Emmanuel. So let's have it right. It's the triune God. Well, I can imagine, brother and sister, you saying, well, we know this. That's right. Let's remind ourselves of it. The three persons of the Trinity, the one God, is bound up in our reviving and our enlivening and our quickening. It's not one or the other. And in our prayers, let us have this triune aspect of our thinking and our reasoning. A hymn writer puts it like this. I have no idea who this hymn writer is, but his words, or her words, bring home the power of what I want to say. O God most holy, thee we praise. We celebrate thy name with joy. Thy saints their grateful offerings raise, earnest of heaven's blessed employ. Jehovah, Father, just and true, we praise thee for eternal love. Thy covenant blessings ever new, sweet signs of our acceptance prove. Jehovah, Jesus, Lamb of God, we praise thee for salvation sure. Our spirits ransomed, sealed with blood, are thine forever, thine secure. Jehovah, Comforter divine, we praise thee for thy quickening power. Spirit of truth, oh, breathe and shine, revealing Jesus more and more. Jehovah, triune God supreme, instruct us in thy righteous ways, unfold the wonders of thy name, and lead us on to perfect praise. As Paul said, may we keep this in mind. And copy the apostle here. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, may give us, may give me the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you, so that I, so that we may know him better. And if there's any unbeliever listening to me, it's not that you need to know God better. You need to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. And the only way you can know him is by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So turn from all others. Turn from sin and self and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And brother and sister, may we continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of this triune God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. May God bless this little discourse to us all, and this text. May it live in our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.